Instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's material possessions, and the other is called knowledge of the self, which is pure spiritual activity. The sacrifice of one's material possessions is not the dovetail for spiritual realization. Then such sacrifice becomes material. But one who performs such sacrifices with a spiritual objective or in devotional service makes a perfect sacrifice. When we come to spiritual activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding of one's own self or one's constitutional position, and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of God. One who follows the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. For him, there is no difficulty in attaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord. And such understanding is beneficial, for such a person can easily understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. In the beginning of this chapter, the transcendental activities of the Lord were discussed by the Supreme Lord Himself. One who does not understand the instructions of the Gita is faithless and is to be considered to be misusing the fragmental independence awarded to him by the Lord. In spite of such instructions, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing personality of Godhead, is certainly full number one. Please, all cell phone, put them off. Thank you. Okay. Let them leave message you. Call back again after the class. Okay. So because of distraction. You know? Okay. In spite of such instruction, one who does not understand the real nature of the Lord as the eternal, blissful, all-knowing presence of Godhead is certainly fool number one. Ignorance can be removed by gradual acceptance of the principles of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is awakened by different types of sacrifices to the demigod, sacrifice to Brahman, sacrifice in celibacy, household life, in controlling the senses, in practicing mystic yoga, and tenets, to foregoing material possession, installing the Vedas, and in partaking of a social institution called Varnashram Dharma. All of these are known as sacrifice, and all of them are based on regulated action. That within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. But one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One is therefore advised to study Bhagavad Gita or any other scripture under a bona fide spiritual master would serve this as your letter. The bona fide spiritual master is in the specific succession from time eternal, and he does not deviate at all from the instructions of the Supreme Lord, as they were imparted millions of years ago to the Sun God, from whom the instructions of Bhagavad Gita have come down to the earthly kingdom. One should, therefore, follow the path of Bhagavad Gita as it is expressed in the Gita itself, and beware of self-interested people after personal aggrandizement who deviate others from the actual path. The Lord is definitely the Supreme Person, and his activities are transcendental. One who understands this is a liberated person from the very beginning of his study of Bhagavad Gita. Mukam karoti vachanam pankum nakayate hirini jatri patamaham pandeya shikuru nirakaranam palamanam napaham chikran nirakshi. So the whole point is to understand that the Lord's activities are transcendental. Then one can dovetail his own activities to please the Lord. Because our activities in material consciousness, they create karma, because they are done with the anger, you know, the harmless body, the enjoyer, the provider, the owner of everything. So that consciousness creates this anger of false ego, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So activities are bound by karma. But when somebody is a pure devotee of the Lord, is free from this ahankar, then his activities are not under the law of karma. That's why when pure devotee perform activities, we call them vila, past matters. Because there is no ahankar involved. As soon as there is ahankar, there is karma. There is action and reaction. Kartaham iti manyate. What is that verse? How is that the first line? Prakriti kriyamanani unai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karmakaha iti manyate. That bewildered by the illusion, the living entity being that I am the doer, bewildered by ahankara, by false ego, I think I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. But not knowing that all those activities are under the control of the material energy. So one who knows the truth, he knows I'm not the doer. I'm only instrument in the hands of the Lord. This one last time, Krishna came down about this idea. Once Durvasa Muni went to Vrindavan, and Radharani, the gopis, wanted to serve him prasad. But he was on the other side of the Yamuna, and there were no boats to cross. So they went to Krishna, that's the Gopangapani Upanishad, this pastime. They asked Krishna, what to do? You know, we want to take prasad to the sea, but we don't have boat to cross. What we should do? Krishna smiled, they were at the shore of the Yamuna. Krishna smiled, told them, you just have to say to Yamuna, my dear Yamuna, by the result of Krishna's austerities as an eternal brahmachari, please open your water. So the gopis started to laugh and clap, you brahmachari? You can't be a brahmachari. You have so many good friends here in Vrindavan, the gopis. Dwarka, you are a great grihastha, 16,000 wives. How can you be brahmachari? Krishna smiles and you don't believe me? Try, do what I'm saying, see what will happen. So they went to the Yamuna and said, please Yamuna, by the power of Krishna's austerity as an eternal brahmachari, please open up your water. And the Yamuna opened up. Krishna smiles and said, I told you. So they crossed the river, they went where the Vasa Muni was, and they served him very nice prasad. He was very satisfied. So he blessed Radharani. Everything you cook will taste like nectar. The person who eats your food never gets sick, always will be healthy and happy. Like that. So the Radharani asked the Vas Muni, to come here we have to say the password that Krishna is an eternal Brahmachari to cross the Yamuna. What we should do to go back? What we should say to go back? The Durvasa Muni smiled, he said, you just said that by the power of the penances of Durvasa Muni, who didn't eat at all today, please let us pass. So Radharani was a little intrigued by this statement. So she asked Durvasa Muni, Muniji, how this is possible that you didn't eat anything? We saw you eating very nice feast. And how is that Krishna is eternal Brahmachari? Please explain to us. And Durvasa Muni said, actually, Krishna is not a materialistic enjoyer. Anything he enjoys is not different from himself. You, all you gopis, are eternal energy of the Lord. So what is the meaning of Brahmachari? He doesn't sport with any material woman. So Krishna doesn't sport with any material lady. He's not interested in any material woman from this young world, material world. So he's an actual Brahmachari. Is it? I'm also not a materialistic enjoyer. I mean, all of you are transcendental energy of the Lord. And also the Queen of Dwarka, they are also expansions of you. Do you know that? No? That all the queens in Dwarka, they are expansions of Radharani and the gopis. In Vrindavan, Radharani is the topmost. But the Dwarka Leela, who is the topmost? Rukmini. And who is Rukmini in Vrindavan Leela? Do you know? No, in Vrindavan Leela. Chandravani. Radhani's competitor. So she is given that position in Dwarka. And who is Radhani expansion in Dwarka? Satyabhama. Is that correct? But then, the Durvasa Muni told them, I'm also not materialistic enjoyer. Although you saw me eating, I also saw myself eating. I was detached from the body. I was just watching how the body was eating. I was just aloof. You know? That's a person of transcendental consciousness. Bhagavad Gita explains. Although he eats, he sleeps, he talks, open eyes, close his eyes, walk, sit down. He knows I'm not doing anything. All this activity is done by the body, by the material energy, but I have nothing to do with the body. I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul. It's self-realized. So I know his body doing things, he knows I'm not doing this. He doesn't identify with the body or the activities of the body. So this is self-realization. This is self-realization. So all the teaching Bhagavad Gita to take us up to the platform of self-realization, and above self-realization, Krishna realization. Realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His transcendental activities in the spiritual kingdom. Goloka Vrindavan. That's the topmost realization, spiritual realization. There is one pastime, Krishna, teaching us about our actual position in this world. Once Krishna was with his friends near the Yamuna, and they were tending the cows, and you know, and they were having their lunch together. You know, Krishna was sitting in the center, all friends sit around. Thousands and thousands of friends, sakas. But amazingly, if you sit in the center, somebody around you, you will give your back to somebody. But amazingly, no Krishna's friend will see Krishna's back. All of them will see Krishna's smiling face. It's Krishna's mystic power. And they will share their result with Krishna. Oh, Krishna, my mother prepared this nice lalu, please try it. Very sweet. And after they try, say, sweet, it's good, they offer to Krishna. You can do that. Try the sweet before giving Krishna, maybe come a Kavala. But Krishna's friend, they have so much intimate love with him, that Krishna is more happy to taste what they already ate. We are supposed to take what Krishna eats first, after he eats. But their friends, they are so intimate with Krishna, like family members, sometimes the children are eating, they leave. The mother eats whatever the children leave. They don't mind. Family relationship, is very close. So same way, Krishna's friend like that. So when they were laughing and eating nicely, the cows start to go away, looking for the new green grass. So they start to go farther and farther and farther. And then the boys told Krishna, Krishna, please continue eating. We are going to get the cows back. Please you stay in wait for us. We are coming back very soon. So they went following the, footprint, countdown, following, until they found the cows very far away in some dry forest. And when they were there, one servant of Kamsa, who was sent to kill Krishna, he thought, so many coward boys, Krishna must be among them. Let me set fire around them. So he set fire around them in a circle, so they could not escape. The boys and the cows felt great danger, So they immediately start to come out for Krishna for help. Krishna, please come help us. We are in danger. You are our only protector. Krishna immediately appeared there. And as soon as he heard the cry of his friends and the cows, and Krishna told his friends, now you must close your eyes. So Krishna's friend thought maybe Krishna is doing some mudra to stop the fire or something. So he's asking us to. And Krishna's intention was to swallow all the fire. But he didn't want his friend to see that. Why? First of all, he didn't want to put them in anxiety. If you see your friend so in fire, you'll be in anxiety about his well-being. Second, most importantly, Krishna told, once my friend would be in trouble because they went to Madhyashura to complain that I was eating dirt. If they go now to tell Madhyashura I'm eating fire, I will be in bigger trouble. So better ask them to close their eyes. And as soon as Krishna swallowed all the fire, he told his friend, okay, now you open your eyes. And they opened their eyes, they were not there. They were again near the Yamuna, everything green and nice, Krishna transported them from that place to that other place immediately. So what is the teaching in this pastime for us, even in the material world? The teaching is, the cows represent us, the fallen jeevas. And the green grass we were looking for, going away from Krishna, in the sense gratification, material sense gratification. So forgetting Krishna, we came to this material world, trying to enjoy, separately from him. And then we are surrounded by fire. At every step there is problem, anxiety in this world. You can't avoid. Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidharmika, always some problem. But if we pray to Krishna, like the coward boy, please Krishna, we are in fire, please help us. So we chant like that. Jiva Goswami recommends that we chant Hare Krishna like a helpless child calling for his mother. That attitude should be there in the chant. I'm helpless in this world. I have no other shelter but you, Radha and Krishna. Hare is Radharam, Gopi, and then Krishna. Krishna and Hare Krishna. So, without the mercy of Radharani, nobody can get Krishna's mercy. She is the queen of Vrindavan. So when Mother Yashoda heard that Radharani got the blessing from Durvasa Muni about her cooking, she immediately asked her if she can come and cook for Krishna. And she was more than happy to cook for Krishna. Every day she would come to cook for Krishna. And Gopis assisting her in the kitchen. That was her department. Prabhupada once said, this movement is kitchen religion. The secret weapon, So they were doing, she was directing all of them, doing nice preparation for Krishna. And she will watch how Krishna will like the preparation, how he will eat. Once she made very nice lalu, manohar lalu, very tasty lalu. In the middle is some melting cream, melts in the mouth, and very, very tasty lalu. So she prepared like that for Krishna. And she was looking through the window to see Krishna's reaction. So Krishna took the lalu, put it in his mouth and made ugly face out. He took it out and put it in Sridham's plate, Radharani's brother. He didn't, because Sridham didn't waste any time. Such a nice love, So Krishna wanted to please Radharani by pleasing her brother, by giving the love to her brother. She understood, she smiled also, Krishna's nothingness. I remember when I joined ISKCON. I tried to preach to my friends and family members also, to give them books to read about Krishna. One time, one younger sister, she asked me, I was reading the book you gave me. Oh, that's very good. But I have one doubt. Yeah, please tell me. Why do you worship a God who is a thief and a liar? How was that? She said, I read in your book that he's stealing yogurt. And when he's gone, he said, deny him, I'm not stealing. So not only thief, but also liar. I thought, okay, let me explain to you one thing. First of all, accept at least theoretically that Krishna is God, the Supreme Lord. Okay, just to understand the example I'm giving you. Then, if he's God, he's the Supreme Lord, that means all the yoga in the universe belongs to him. All the water in the universe belongs to him. So if he say I'm not stealing, he's saying the truth. How he can steal something belongs to him? Only to please his devotee and enjoy himself, he does those activities, So Krishna has different spies in Vrindavan and friends who will tell him when the gopi will make some nice fresh yogurt. So one day, friend told him, Krishna, such gopi have made very nice fresh yogurt. Krishna said, okay, tomorrow we're going there. And you know how Krishna steal the yogurt's friend. They climb on the shoulders and up, they make a pirate, a human pirate. Interestingly, last year, in Spain, there are a group of people who make this sport to see who can make the biggest, the highest human pyramid, So they were curious to know from where this sport came. So they found out that this sport came from Gujarat, India. So they invited their counterpart, Gujaratis to come to Spain to perform the human pyramid act, So they came and they were performing and very nice, came on the TV and everything. So the reporter, the journalist was asking the Gujaratis, from where this sport came out? And Gujarati said, this came from Krishna's pastime, he used to steal yogurt to plant on the shoulder of his friend. So we are following Krishna's activities, we are doing the same. Hare Krishna. So Krishna went to that house, and that gopi also had a spy, so she knew that Krishna was coming. And she got prepared, you know. She got prepared, you know, when to prevent him from entering your home, you put some alarm system or something. But at that time, gopi put a lot of bells all over the windows and everywhere, the floor, and the walls, everywhere, you know. So Krishna arrived, so all the arrangements say, okay. He spoke to the bells. Bells, who is your Lord and Master? The bells answered, you are only Lord and Master. Very good. Are you going to obey what I am going to say? Yes, yes. Whatever you say, we'll put on our head, Krishna. Very good. I am going to enter this room to steal this yoga. Even if I move you, you should not make any sound. All right, the bell said, of course we will not make any sound. So, he opened the window, full of bells, no sound came. He entered the room with his friends, and keep all the bells on the floor, no sound came. He took down the big clay pot full of yogurt, full of bells around, you know, no sound came. Took off the cover full of bells, no sound came. But as soon as Krishna started to eat the yogurt, all the bells sounded at the same time. Krishna became angry at the bells. I told you not to do it. What is this? The bells said, what can we do, Krishna? The Vedas say that when Bhagavan eats, the sound of the bell must be there. So, of course, the gopi heard the bell, she kept running, you know. And all Krishna's friends flew away, only he was caught, you know. He was caught because his hand was inside the yogurt pot. And the gopi said, oh, finally, Krishna, I caught you. You can't deny now, you're stealing my yogurt. No, no, I'm not stealing your yogurt. How can you deny? Your hand is inside the yogurt pot. No, I'm rescuing my elephant toy fell on the yogurt. See, it's my toy. Come on, Krishna, your mouth is full of yogurt. How can you deny? No, these were my friends. They were eating your yogurt. And before they left, they spilled some yogurt on my face. Okay, enough lies, Krishna. I'm going to take you with Mother Yashoda to make a complaint. She will correct you. So she brought the rope and tied up Krishna. And took him on her shoulder, and she went walking to Yashoda's home. When she arrived there, knocked on the door, Yashoda, come, see you this small thief, I caught him. And Yashoda came out, yes, what do you want? I brought your thief. Your Krishna was stealing yogurt in my home. That is impossible, Yashoda said. Krishna, come. Krishna's here, he never left home. And Krishna came out of the house. That gopi was completely bewildered. Who is this here? And she was her own son. She was more bewildered. And Krishna approached her and whispered to her in her ear, and next time if you do this to me, your husband will be coming. Krishna's very mischievous. But these activities give so much pleasure to his devotees. Because they are transcendental, spiritual, not material. So that is the beauty of Krishna Lila. It's very pleasing to the heart and to the ear. And purify our consciousness, you know. So blissful, so wonderful. So, but after some time that Radharani was looking for Krishna, her mother-in-law, Jatilan, sister-in-law, Kutilan, they stopped her. Said, no, people of the town are talking, your man and woman is not proper, you go to somebody's home to cook for some other man, that is not good, you have to stop. You know, Radharani's so-called husband, Abhimanyu, do you know who is he? Actually, he's Krishna's shadow. Only Krishna's shadow, like you see your shadow here. Shadow is reflection of your own self, isn't it? So it's not different from Krishna, but it's there just to make the things more exciting, more interesting, you know. But he doesn't touch Krishna, Radharani, with his finger. He's just there to make it more intense, more interesting. That's it. So anyway, when they stop Radharani to go to cook for Krishna, she felt sick. Sick of separation from Krishna. And she said that the snake bit her. And she was sick. Well, the snake of Krishna's separation. So Krishna also felt, you know, unhappy. And he didn't want to eat, you know. So, but he wanted Radharani to cook for him again. So he made a plan with Lalita that he will go as a she doctor to see Radharani to cure her from the snake bite. So of course, because at that time, Vedic time, no male doctor can see a lady, you know, only female doctor. You know. Some restrictions, social restrictions were there. So Krishna has to dress himself as a she doctor to see Radharani. So Lalita took him to Radharani's home and told Jatila, this young girl is from Mathura and she's very expert in chanting the mantras to cure any snake bite and subtract the poison from the person. She is very, very good. I recommend her. Oh, that's very good. Thank you for coming. But Krishna said, but I need to be alone with that girl to cure her. Okay, no problem. So, but they were behind the door listening, you know. So Krishna spoke to this so-called snake that bited her. An evil snake, cruel snake. Why did you bite this innocent girl? And the snake answered, Krishna made a voice like a snake, you know. He answered, actually, my intention was not to buy Radharani, but to buy Jatila and Kutila. Because they stopped Radharani from cooking for Krishna. I was angry at them. But I came home, I didn't find them. I only found Radharani. I thought if I buy Radharani, the others also will suffer, because they're related to her, they also will suffer. Radharani said, alright, I'm going to subtract the poison with the mantra from her body, but you have to promise me that you will help also to do it. Snake said, yes, with one condition. What is that condition? That Jatila Kutila will never again forbid Radharani to cook for Krishna. So Jatila Kutila were hearing behind the door. They went, immediately entered. Yes, yes, we promise, never again. Okay. Then she was cured and was looking for Krishna again. At another time, Krishna himself fell sick out of separation from Radharani. And he himself became doctor and came to check himself, you know. So he said, the doctor said, the only cure for Krishna is that the most chaste lady in town must take a jar, clay pot, with 100 holes and fill it with Yamuna water without spilling one drop from it. If she can do that and Krishna can drink that water, Krishna will be cured. So everybody was afraid to do that. So all the gopis told Jatila, and Kutila, you are always saying you are very chaste ladies and this. Why you don't try to do this? Take the water. So Kutila said, yes, I can do it. I'm very chaste lady. So she went with 100 holes, you know, and took the water, and as soon as she took it out of the river, all the water came out, and they're laughing, oh, yes, you're very chaste. Meantime, Jatila was trying with the pot with 50 holes. Somewhere else, you know, try it. It works secretly. Didn't work either. So they were desperate what to do. So they approached Radharani and asked Radharani if she can do it. She said, no, I'm not going to do it. You always are complaining about my chastity and this and that. I'm not going to do it. No, no, please, we believe in your chastity. Please do it. Krishna is very sick. You must do something. Rani said, no, please. I will do it. But you have to promise never again, you know, complain about my chastity and all this. Okay, sure. So Rani took the 100, the clay pot with 100 holes and dip it in the Yamuna River. Krishna was underneath the water and he touched the pot. When he touched the pot, when she took out the pot, no single drop came out. And Krishna drank that water and he was cured. So, in the same way that chanting Krishna's holy name can free anyone from sin and grant liberation and devotion, pure devotion to the Lord, also chanting Radhani's name. Actually, we can't separate. In Mahamantra, we chant both. Radha and Krishna's name are there. There is one pastime describing the power of Radhani's name. Once there was a pious but materialistic man. He was pious but materialistic. And he had a very beautiful wife, and her name was Kishori. Kishori is another name of Radhani. That was young and beautiful. Beautiful. So, but this man, his wife became very, very sick and she died. So he was suffering very, very much because he was very, very attached. So he almost stopped eating, sleeping, crying all day, you know, Kishori. So one day, one sadhu came to his home to beg for food, and he heard this man crying, Kishori. He must be a great devotee from Harami. So he told him, if you want to get the favor of Kishori, you must go to Varsha. There you will get the mercy of Kishori. Oh yes, oh, that's great. So he went to Varsha now, thinking about his wife, you know. So then the Parsana, he continued crying and calling out, Kishori. So the Harani told her friend, Lalita, I mean, this man is calling me with so much, you know, this helplessness. Go find out what he wants from me. So Lalita went and came back and told her, Harani, you have just some family problem. He's very attached, you know, wife was named like that. Okay. But the man continued day and night calling Kishori, crying. Finally, Hunter told Lalita, look, I don't care who he's calling. I can't bear him crying like that anymore. So I'm going to give him my mercy. Because by chanting the name, she became purified. So Lalita and Rani came to him, and out of their counselor's mercy, they showed himself to him. And he became a great devotee of Radharani. He stayed there, became big sadhu, Darshana, surrendered his life to Radharani's service. So see how kind and merciful Radharani is. There is one other story I was telling Chaudhary Prabhu in the way. About Dwarka, you know. So there was one Brijabasi sadhu, was a great devotee of Radharani, had so much devotion for Radharani. But he never went to Dwarka, so he was thinking, maybe I should visit Dwarka at least once in my life. But then when you are thinking like that, at night, Radharani appeared to him in a dream and told him, everything you need for your spiritual life is here in Vrindavan. You don't need to go to Dwarka or anywhere else. He didn't took this dream by his ears. Just a dream, you know. It's my mind or something. He didn't took it too seriously. And because he still had this desire, Krishna pleased his desire. One day one Brahmana, who know him, told him, tomorrow I'm leaving for Dwarka. And I would like to invite you to come with me. Don't worry, I will pay all expenses, everything, don't worry. Just come with me, be my companion. And he went with him. Disobeyed Radharani and went to Dwarka. And when he was in Dwarka, he stamped on his body the symbols, the four symbols of Vishnu, you know, marks, you know. and everything. So he came back to Vrindavan after some time. He had a dream. The dream, Narayana told him, okay, you disobeyed me, you went to Dwarka. Not only that, you stamp your body with the symbols of Dwarkadish. Now you belong to Dwarka, you don't belong to Braja anymore. Now you are in the camp of Rukmini Devi, of Satyavan. Stay with them, don't come back to me again. He was really worried this time. He was really, really, really helpless, you know. He was crying, you know, I don't want to lose Radharani's mercy. So he was going to different sadhus asking for advice. What should I do? Radharani told me like that, what can we say? What can we do? Our respect to you, you know, and Dwarka Vasi. He was more disturbed, you know. Finally, you know, he decided to do something extreme. He shot himself in his bhajan kutir, closed the door from inside, and sat down without eating or drinking water, nothing. Silent, you know, meditating on Radharani. And because he used to go every evening to collect some alms from the Vrindavasis, they were missing him, so why is he not coming? He's sad, you know. Is anything wrong? Maybe happened. Let's go and find out in his hut. So they went to the hut and was lost. They could not open the door. But they saw, you know, from the hall that his body was on fire. The fire was coming from his feet up to his knees and was coming up, you know. So they were desperate. They tried to block the door and come in, you know, to put off the fire or something. But he was smiling. The fire grips his neck, and he was smiling. He said, I bless you that in your town you will never have any hunger or thirst or any calamity or any disease, you know, like that. But then, at that time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, it's good to have his picture also, if you can. Yes. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was there in Vrindavan, and he sent his disciple, his servant, I think his name was Giridhari, go and find out at that devotee's bhajan kutir what's going on. I think something is happening, something very important is happening. So he went round and came back to all the school. Let's go immediately. So they went there, and Jagannath Das Babaji, when he saw the fire, he said, Virahana, Virahana. The fire of separation from the Narayana in his heart manifested in his body and was, you know, burning his body. By doing this tapasya, he got purified of any misgiving. And now he's prepared to go and join Radharani's service forever in Goloka. So Jagannath Das Babaji put three giri on his forehead and the fire completely burnt up on his body and he entered the eternal lila of the Lord. I mean, if we worship Lakshmi Narayan, we go by Kunda. If you worship Sitaram, Lakshmana alone, you go to Ayodhya. If you worship Krishna alone, or with the queens, you go to Dwarka. But if you worship Radha and Krishna, following the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, then you go to Goloka Vrindavan. But you don't go directly to Goloka Vrindavan, no. When the pure devotee, he becomes pure, free from material desires, and develop bhakti devotion for Radha Krishna. When he dies, he goes to another universe in the material world where Krishna is performing his pastimes. And then he is born from the womb of one gopi, either as a friend of Krishna or as a gopi or as a mother, whatever rasa he may have or she may have. And there he gets the last training to serve Krishna. Otherwise, how he can arrive in the spiritual world? Newcomer, nobody knows who is it. Who is this person? We don't know him. So he has to become first Krishna's, part of Krishna's family first. Then he can come. Otherwise, will happen the same what happened with Lord Shiva. You know what happened with Lord Shiva? That in the Vrindavan there is a temple of Lord Shiva called Gopishwar Mahadeva. And every evening, the pujari will put nose ring, put the veil like a gopi, you know, everything on Lord Shiva. Why is that? Because there is one Leela, Lord Shiva, he wanted to see Ras Leela. So he went to Yogamaya, Purnamasi, please help me, I really need to see this Ras Leela. Yogamaya said, you can't see Ras Leela with male body, you have to get the female body. She said, I don't care, I don't mind. What should I do? She said, okay, take your body, this Kunda, you will come out as a female. So he did that. And then he entered the Gunja where the Rasa Leela was born. He was hiding between the bushes and he was looking at the Rasa Leela dancing. You know? So Krishna told the gopis, I'm not feeling the same ecstasy tonight. Maybe somebody here should not be here. Go find around who's there. So the gopis were searching and they found that girl, Lord Shiva. They immediately start to ask him, who are you? What is your name? What is the name of your father-in-law, mother-in-law? What is the name of your husband? So many questions. And Shiva couldn't answer any of those questions. So they were harassing him. Or maybe you are a spy coming, comes and send you here. And they start to slap him, you know. Speak, you're a spy. And then Krishna came. He said, no, in Yogamaya also came. Yogamaya said, no, she is under my protection. And then Krishna came and told Lord Shiva, okay, I will give you nice service. You will guard the entrance of the Ras Leela, so nobody who is not qualified can enter. And you stay there. So that's it. That way he became Gopishwar Mahadeva. What is made Gopish? Do you know? Gopishwar? That's Krishna. That Lord Shiva Gopishwar means controlled by the gopis. Because the gopis loved him, you know. So he was controlled by the gopis. So, you have to understand spiritual life, you know. To hear those pastimes, not just for entertainment, it's to purify the heart from all dirty things, and we develop attachment, attraction for the eternal pastimes of the Lord. We develop desire to one day join the Lord in His eternal Leela. You know? That's the whole idea of any Krishna Leela, to develop desire to go back to God, to our eternal home. This material home, world is not a real home. We're just passing through here. Wherever we go, we are foreigners. Once a reporter asked Prabhupada in America, he said, Swamiji, do you believe in extraterrestrial? Prabhupada said, yes, we are all extraterrestrial. We don't belong to this earth planet. We belong to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Glory be to God. So, any questions? Or comments?
Only Gopeshwar,
you have in the Dhamma, Madheshwar, Sakleshwar. Yeah, there are different forms of mercy, but they are protecting the Dhamma, you know. Dhamma following, you know. They are there to protect the holy Dhamma. So, Lord Shiva, Vaishnavaram, Yatra, Shampu, the greatest Vaishnava. Even in Nandagram, there is one Shiva there, Nandeshwar. And you know why he's there? Or that you want to hear the name? Why he's there? I'm eager to hear about Krishna Leela. That's very good. The reason is, when Krishna was as Bal Gopal, you know, baby Krishna in Vrindavan, Lord Shiva wanted to have darshan. So he changed his form, he assumed the form of a sadhu and went to see Krishna. But he was like a shy beast. His body was full of, you know, ashes, and the cobras were always with him, but not in his company. You know? These are great sages, actually. Can't give up Lord Shiva's company, so they always with him. And the ashes that Shiva spread in his body from crematorium are the ashes of Vaishnavas only. He doesn't use anybody's ashes, only Vaishnavas' ashes. And the bones also are Vaishnavas' bones around his body. So he went there to Mother Yashoda's home, the Nandagram, and knocked on the door. So Yashoda opened the door. Yes, you want any food or anything? Yeah. Maharaj, I can send it. He said, no, I just want to have darshan with your son. And she looked at the cobras, you know. She said, I'm sorry, I can't allow that. These cobras are very dangerous for my son. I'm sorry to tell you, no, but you have to go. So Shiva was very sad. He left. And he sat under a tree meditating on Krishna, fasting, you know. So Krishna will not eat also. Krishna will not eat, cry and not eating. So Yashoda was very worried. So she asked her gopis, neighbors, what to do. So they asked her, did any sadhu come here and he didn't please him? She said, yes, frankly, that happened. Okay, then you have to bring the sadhu, please him, then Krishna will leave. So they looked for the sadhu, they brought him. Yashoda said, okay, you can come. Have darshan of my son. But when he was like, you know, 10 feet from business, okay, stop here. No more, no closer than this, you know, this cobra. Dangerous. So Lord Shiva was looking at his master, Bhagavan Krishna. And Krishna was looking at his servant. Both were very happy, ecstatic seeing each other. And Yashoda said, okay, darshan finished, you have to go now. But as soon as he walked out of the house, Krishna was crying again, will not be. Okay, the sadhu come back again. This happened a few times, you know. And then finally Lord Shiva said, okay, Yashoda Maya, I can bless your son to always be healthy, always eat all his food, always be happy, but you have to do something to please me. Oh yes, whatever you ask, please. Well, I will stay sometime in Braja, few months. And I want to come every day, every morning to your home. And you must wash your son's lotus feet, and you give me the water to me. That would please me very much. Yashoda said, yes, you come, I will be. So Shiva will come every day to collect the charanamrita. He will drink, put on his hand, will go very happy. So that's why that Nandagram, you will see this temple of Lord Shiva, and all the water from the Abhishek of Krishna daily, they will take to Lord Shiva, and first he will get the first charanamrita. He will take the remnants of Lord Mahaprasad.
Asheshwar Mahadev,
yes. When I was in Dubai, one lady, one devotee, she asked the question, why Krishna is black? First of all, Krishna is not dark, he's blackish. It's not like the black of this world, you have to understand. It's transcendental, the color you can't find in this world. But the Shastras explain that it's the color of the monsoon cloud, you know, like bluish. Dark bluish, yeah. Yes. So, anyway, once a devotee asked Prabhupada, why Krishna is blue? Prabhupada said, I don't know, ask him. Anyway, one night, Radha and Krishna were sitting in a beautiful throne, and the gopis were decorating them, dressing them very nicely. And after they finished, was a full moon night, you know. Was very beautiful, nice breezes, you know. So they put the big mirror, so they can see each other, how they're beautiful they were, decorated and everything. So Radharani made some joke with Krishna. Krishna, I am more beautiful than you. You are dark like the night, and I am fair like the moon. Krishna said, yes, you're right. But what is the beauty of the moon without the darkness of the night? So they eternally compliment each other. Eternally, it's like one soul and two bodies, one fire and two flames, one and the same, eternally looking for each other. That's the greatest happiness, to see Krishna and Radha together. That is the desire of the Lord, make arrangement to bring them together. Once, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Radhakund with some disciples. Another disciple came to tell him, Gurudev, just see this royal family came from such and such place and they are doing Radhakunda Parikrama, you know, paying all this time. Just see how much they have regard for Radharani. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, yes, that is very good. But their idea is different from our idea. Their idea is, because Radharani is related to Krishna, that's why we offer respect. But our idea is the opposite. We are our utmost regard is for Radharani. And because Krishna has some relation with her, we also pay some attention to him also. That is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur view, point of view. Very good. We can go on. I don't know until what time we shall stop.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
10 minutes? I would like to, if anybody has any question or comment. Yes. Another material universe where Krishna is performing in real life. Every universe there is a local Vrindavan.
Is there any chance of falling down from there?
Generally not. You can't enter there unless you become pure devotee first. But pure devotee means he has no material desire. First you have to become purified, then enter, not before. Unless you go as a demon to try to kill Krishna, then Krishna will kill you. He give you moksha. But we don't want that. I mean, all demons, they also get purified by Krishna killing them. But some demons are more fortunate than others. For example, Putana, she came to kill Krishna. But Krishna accepted her as mother because she came to feed Krishna, breast milk, although she put poison, But Krishna closed his eyes when he saw her, although she transformed her body as beautiful. But Krishna knew who she was, so Krishna closed his eyes. Why Krishna closed his eyes? There are different reasons. Acharyas give different reasons. One reason is that he wanted to give assurance to her that I'm a very naive, simple boy. I am no danger to you. So he closed his eyes and I'm like sleeping, very innocent boy. The second reason, Krishna didn't want to see her face because she got many other babies. So she was angry at her. He wanted to see her face. So different acharya gave different reasons. But then, when Krishna, saw her life air, and she died, she got the spiritual body and she was transferred as a nurse assisting Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world. She became, like the mother of Krishna. So Krishna accepted her as a mother. Although she came also desired to poison Krishna. And who was she in her previous life? She was Ratnamala, Bali Maharaj's sister, daughter. And when she saw Bhavana there, she felt attraction. Oh, such a beautiful boy. I wish to have him as my son to give him my breast milk. But when Bhavana there took a gigantic form and the two-step cover all the universe, took everything from Bhavi Maharaj, she became angry at me. Oh, if I have poison, I will poison this boy. So both things, both desires, mixed up together and she came as But this took only the good thing and eliminated the bad thing. And so kind, so merciful. The same thing happened with Sharpana, Ravana's sister. She approached Lord Ram with lusty desire. She saw him in the forest, she was attracted, you know. So she became transformed, she rakshasi, had mystic power, she became beautiful, she came to, you know, to propose to Ram, you know, I'm very attracted to you, marry me. Ram smiled, said, I am, you know, I'm already married, I have my wife, but my brother, Lakshman, he's pretty good to me. So she went to Lakshman. Oh, my dear Lakshman, you are also very handsome and beautiful. I would like to have a walk through the forest so we know each other. And Lakshman, I want to marry you. And Lakshman said, he smiled, no. I'm only servant of my brother. He's the king. You must insist on him. So she went back to Ram again. Ram again said, although kings may have more than one wife, but I need a vow to have only a Kapatni brother. Only one. So please excuse me. Here is my wife, Sita. Sorry, you know. So she became angry. Material desire not satisfied, anger comes, you know. She became angry and was going to attack Sita. So Lakshmana has to cut off her nose and ears and all this. Because she kept that desire, in her next life, she appeared as Kubja, the hunchback woman. And as soon as she saw Krishna entering Mathura, she felt same attraction again. Although she had some sandalwood paste for Kamsa, she ran to Krishna's car to smear all the sandalwood on Krishna's body. And Krishna was pleased with her to serve his attitude. And Krishna, being very kind to her, he pressed her feet with his own feet and took out her cheeks and put it up, and all the hunchback disappeared. She became very beautiful young girl. And by his touch, later, he went to her home and touched her body with his feet, and she became free from all material love. She became pure devotee of the Lord. So, see, if somebody is attracted to the Lord, even by lust or anger, whatever, the final result is the person gets purified. So, somewhere or other, we have to develop our attraction to the Lord. Of course, devotional service means favorable to Krishna. Kamsa was thinking of Krishna all the time. But his thinking of Krishna is not accepted as bhakti because he was thinking of Krishna as enemy. It was not devotional service. But he got the result when he was killed by Krishna, he was by whom? Because he was meditating on the forearm form of Krishna. So he also got liberation. Any other kind of comment, questions?
How we join in this moment, how what attracted so far from
How I joined this movement. It's a long story, but I will make it short. You know. First of all, my parents, they went on pilgrimage. You know, they were Christians, of course. They went on pilgrimage, some Christian holy place, to pray to God that the next son, because my elder brothers, they died of sickness, you know, a few months after they were born. So they went to pray to God that if the next child will survive, we will offer him to you. So, and they also made a vow that we will bless him as a Christian monk for the first 3 years of his life. So I was blessed as a monk for the first 3 years of my life. I have a picture like that. And I was actually inclined, religiously inclined. I was going to become a priest, you know. I was studying to become a priest. But they decided to emigrate to South America, Venezuela, and I left my study and went with them. And there, I remember I used to visit the church frequently. And one day I asked the priest, the Christian priest, how God looks like. I was very curious to know. He told me that's a mystery, nobody has seen. God is an invisible spirit. I wasn't satisfied with that answer. I decided to search outside the Christian religion. So I was searching here, there, and found different things, Mayavad, Buddhism, this, that. Wasn't satisfied. Yoga, I was practicing yoga, vegetarian, everything, no intoxication, nothing. So one day I was with one friend in a vegetarian restaurant, and I told him I have this spiritual experience I want to share with you. He said, yes, please tell me. He said, I told him, do you see this ugly gray building out of the window? This is made by man. And do you see this nice, fragrant, beautiful roses, red roses on the table? These are made by God. If God can create such beautiful things, imagine how beautiful must be God. But I don't know him. I wish one day I can know him. And the day I will know him, I will surrender my life to him. My friend said, oh, that's very nice thought, but take it easy, please. next week, I met the devotees on the street, and they gave me invitation to go to the temple. They looked at me, you're a vegetarian, but pretty nice vegetarian feast, free, you must come, you know. So I came, okay, with my friend went there. When I entered the temple, I asked one devotee, can you please tell me how God looks like for you? What is your idea? That's very easy. He said, here's Radha Krishna's picture. Here is God. I said, wow, that's far out. All religions of the world are looking for God, and these Hare Krishna people having this picture hanging on the wall. That's it. So I said, why not? He looks very beautiful, very attractive. He must be God. Why not? So I decided to chant Hare Krishna. And when I started to chant Hare Krishna, started to look, you know, more interested. I started to read the book, Sri Upanishad, convinced me all my ground would be around by Prabhupada, you know, everything. And one day I decided to move to the temple. Parents were not in favor of that. I was very young, 21, 22 years old. So their mother was very attached. So she would not want me to. I told them, look, I feel, you remember you offered me to God when I was born, you told me that. Now I want to give my life to God, so why you are not happy? I said, well, Christian, but not this. I said, God is one. There is no Christian God or Hindu God, Muslim God. God is one. But this is the way that God showed me that I should follow this path. So please be understanding, you know. Give me your blessing. So I said, okay, what can I can't stop you, so. You are going to go anyway. So you have my blessing. So I went to the temple, and after 2 weeks, my parents with the relatives, uncles, aunties, brothers, sisters, they came to visit me. 3 cars, you know, they came. So I was happy to see them. I brought them Mahaprasad to all of them, you know. And they were smiling and talking and everything. And I asked them, how did you find this address? Because I didn't give you an address. I forgot to give you an address. They were looking at each other smiling. Oh, okay, we will tell you. We went to some shaman. You know shaman? Spiritist. And we asked him to find out. So he sent one ghost and he found the address of the man. Wow, that's far out. So okay, then you have the Amir. No. We're happy because the ghost told us that you will stay in the temple only 6 months. That's why we are happy. I don't know, let's see who is more powerful, your ghost or Krishna. Also, I remember when I met Prabhupada first time, it was a very wonderful experience. You know, when Prabhupada arrived and entered the temple, a big kirtan was going on. And one devotee was, you know, doing Abhishek, Prabhupada's feet. And the kirtan were dancing, chanting in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was looking at everyone. And suddenly he looked at me. I never saw in my life such a, you know, pure spiritual sight. You know, such a, so merciful, so compassionate, so free from material desire. Just by having this sight of Prabhupada, I felt my heart being purified and said, he's my eternal guru. You know, it made me realize that. So, this devotee, he didn't know how to do the Abhishek. He told me very fast, do that, do that. So he didn't know. So he was taking, he thought, oh, there were, you know, yogurt, ghee and honey and, you know, milk and all these things. So he thought, oh, Gurudev is coming from far away, he must be tired. Maybe I should give a massage to his food, you know. So he made a paste with all the ingredients and started to smear over Prabhupada's leg up to his knee and was giving massage. You are not supposed to do that. So he was pressing the bottom of the feet. Prabhupada had to put his hand on the Vyasa's hand to support himself. And all the bodies coming with Prabhupada, they knew how to do it. So Hari is not the way to do it. So it was a little, maybe I'm doing something wrong. So he looked at Prabhupada, go on. Finish. So he finished. And after he finished, we were still in the kirtan. You know, he took the charanamrita and started to splash everyone, you know. And this was Yogra and Hari and everything, everybody. Well, but we didn't mind, we were next as he chanting, you know. And then, a few days after, the initiation ceremony came, you know. And the temple president recommended me for initiation. I was already almost a year living in the temple. So, Prabhupada called me and said, now, tell me your former lucky principle and 16 rounds everything. Prabhupada said, now your name is Jagat Chakshudas. Jagat means the universe and Chakshu means the eye. So everywhere we are, where we go, everything we do, we must always feel the eye of the sight of the Lord on us. He explained like that the meaning. And looking at me, Prabhupada pointed his finger and he said, you cannot hide from the eyes of God. Everybody in the room was looking at me and said, oh, you know, maybe they were thinking, maybe he did something wrong. And I felt that Prabhupada, you know, read my mind, because the day before, after Mangalarti, I went to the kitchen, nobody was there, and took the bird feed and thought nobody's watching me, so I didn't hide it to eat the bird feed. So Prabhupada told me, you can't hide from me. Then there, Prabhupada knows everything. But next day I came from Sankirtan book distribution. And I forgot I wasn't supposed to go to the Brahmacharya Ashram going through the Prabhupada's garden. I was supposed to go another way. But when I came down the garden, Prabhupada was sitting there in a rocking chair, chanting softly, you know, chanting. And he saw me, I saw him, and then I pay obeisance. And Prabhupada moved his hand and, like, yes, you know, what do you want? I was nervous, didn't know what to say. So I told Prabhupada, I just came from distributing your books in the city. He immediately became interested. He said, and how Venezuelan people like my books? Oh, very much, Prabhupada. As soon as they read them, they became very favorable to the book. But they are simple but pious people. They keep me asking for new titles and all this. Prabhupada smooth as hell. Very, come, I will. This room was next there. He said, I want to give you something. So I tell behind him. He had a tray with sweets on the table. So he took one sweet and gave it to me, saying, thank you for helping me. And I thought, Prabhupada's telling me, you don't need to steal the sweet, I give it to you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.
is restricted to provoking.
Just a few announcements. What is this called?
Hare Krishna?
Kirtan.
Today is directed to Prabhuki. Today we have had a wonderful Krishna Katha, and it's a very beauteous sponsor to Prashad and for today's evening program. It's by Savindran Prabhu. Is he here? Savindran Prabhu. And on this occasion of his sons, Rohit and Rahul's birthday. So we'll ask you to come. And all of us can chant Hare Krishna mantra 3 times for the welfare of the family.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Also, today is another very auspicious day. Today is the golden jubilee wedding anniversary of Bhuvan Mataji's parents. So, we all will chant again 3 times Hare Krishna mantra for the wedding. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And now we probably give prasadam to all the devotees. Otherwise, the children will come first. Probably, you can just wait behind. Probably, you can come ahead. Anybody wants to offer the Krishna, it's humble for the day. Tomorrow's program is at Vrindavan Nam, Prabhu Prabhu's residence. The program starts at 7:30 and there will be similar Krishna Katha from this place, Jara Chakshu Guruji. So please make it a point again. And day after tomorrow, we have the same program here at Dharmalaya at 7:30. Hare Krishna.
Here you go. Oh, the sweets? Where are the sweets? Sorry. What?
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.